I'd like to welcome everybody to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is our regular business meeting for Tuesday, June 24th, 2014. The time now is just slightly after 7. Liz, could you call the roll, please?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Rasmussen, Camp, Davis, and Gearing.
Thank you. And I heard from Council Member Cuddeback. Council Member Cuddeback will be here about 20 minutes late or so. And Council Member Gearing, will you go ahead and lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item that we have on our, before we begin, we do have a revised agenda out. The revised agenda is the orange sheet of paper at the dais. You'll note that the executive session has been moved up in the agenda to right after the public hearing. And if everybody's okay with that, we'll just go ahead and go with this agenda. Okay. The next item of the business that we have under announcements and presentations is a presentation introducing our new police dog named Nuke. Chief Quinzer.
Good evening. This evening we're going to change up a little bit. Usually we swear in the dog, but last time we tried to get the dog to raise his right paw and repeat after me, it didn't work too well. So, tonight the department would like to introduce our newest canine, Nuke. Nuke was purchased in February of this year and completed his 420 hours of instruction with his handler, Officer Jason Southern, in April. Nuke has already been on several incidents that require a tracking dog. He's also visited some community events and has been a big hit with the children. Nuke is truly a community dog, as a great deal of the funds used to purchase him came from the citywide canine campaign, as well as donations from the faith community and individuals. Also with us tonight is Dr. Buchholz, a veterinarian with Cascade Animal Clinic, with a special presentation.
Hi, I'm Dr. Sean Buchholz from Cascade Animal Clinic, and I got involved with this project of raising money for a group custody. It started as we were raising some money to get the oxygen masks and stuff from paramedics, so that if dogs and cats get caught in fire, they can use the oxygen that's on the paramedic mask, my mask. So I was talking about that with a very good client of mine, Eric Weiser. He said, hey, why don't we get a bulletproof vest for, you know, the Monroe Police Dog and help out the Monroe Police Department in that way. So then I talked to Sergeant Irving. Is that Sergeant Irving?
Yes.
And he said, we just retired our old police dog and we are getting a new one in training. And it was perfect timing. So we put out the jar at our clinic, and with the help of all of our clients and Eric and Kathy Tower from Miami Ward Pedal, in a generous donation, we were able to raise the money to get a bulletproof vest for me. So we spent a custom day. So I would like to present Nuke with his new protection device. They never actually use it.
We can't thank the community enough for Nuke. He's been a blessing, and we appreciate people that are willing to step forward for him. Thanks, Chief.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chief. Okay, we'll give about 15 seconds here for folks to go visit our new officer. And please let the record show that Councilmember Cuddeback and Councilmember Gamble just entered the room.
Here I am.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and move on to our next item of business. This is a presentation from Senator Kirk Pearson. Senator Pearson, will you come on up to the podium? And I want to thank you very much for allowing our canine officer to go first. Thank you very much for coming this evening.
Thank you, Mayor and Council and everyone here tonight. It's a pleasure. Unfortunately, I left my notes out in the car, but I think I'll just start with my complaints since I'm a citizen of the city. No, in all seriousness, I thank you. It's great to be here, and as I mentioned one time before, I used to sit where Councilman Cutaback used to be when I was on the Planning Commission 25 years ago, a long time. And so it's great to be back. Just a little bit about this last session and this year and what we're doing. This is my 14th year in the legislature and actually my 20th year in public service, 6 years with Congressman Metcalf. And I have to say this has been our busiest year with issues that we have been dealing with, and partly because my new position and everything, but the other part, a lot of my time has been spent up in OSO, of course, in Darrington and Arlington, and being part of teams that are trying to bring back economic vitality and more recreation for that area, but also other issues dealing with in the Skagit Valley, some water issues that we don't have here, but seems like just a lot going on this summer. But we're not going to complain, myself and my assistant Cameron Bailey, who Cameron works, it's they say it's a part-time job, but we both put in I think over 50 hours a week. It is something else, but we do love our job, and we're both passionate for those we serve. And I want to give you a little bit of a highlight of what to expect this next year, and then also I'll take some questions. And where's that clock? Because sometimes I could go on. Okay. Well, if I go over time, you know, that means the hook. And
that
so
means the hook.
That means I'll shut up. But real quick, the last biennium, things that first start out with a good. And we put together a budget, a general fund budget, that when we start session, there was talk about doing $1.3 billion in new taxes. And our budget leader, Andy Hill, Andy's a great guy. He asked me to help him with the natural resources part of the budget. And so we put together a budget where we didn't have any tuition increase for the biennium, and higher ed tuition increase for a couple of years. And that's big, because I've run across some college students who are so grateful, because the last time they didn't have an increase was 1986. And that was a long time. And it was something really important. And so that was a big victory. And also our general fund state budget that we put together, we did it the way we balanced it. We balanced it on a four-year cycle, and the reason being is we with a four-year cycle, you could kind of see if things are sort of working or if they're not working. And right now, we had our forecast a week or two ago, and we're looking at roughly a little over $122 million. More than we anticipated. So the four-year budget outlook looks really good. But there is a concern, too, because at the same time, one of the challenges we had when we started was funding education. There was the McCleary decision, which the Supreme Court stated that the legislature is not funding K-12 education. And in some respects, I understand it is true, because through the years we've had some lean years, and our schools probably haven't gotten the money that they were promised in a way. So this last year we put $1 billion more into K-12 education, and we took that to the Supreme Court and found out recently that we could be held in contempt by the state Supreme Court, even though we made some very strong strides, and which we want to continue to with K-12. And there's some concerns. I was in Olympia last week, and I'm on the Law and Justice Committee also, but we had a special hearing on a number of issues, and one was separation of powers, because one of the things our state Supreme Court is stating along with this is if they don't like what we're doing, they may try to budget themselves. And I brought that up in the hearing with some of the expert testimony, and are you telling us that the state Supreme Court is saying if they don't like what we're doing, they will do the budget? And they're stating that. And now that sets an interesting precedent, because constitution-wise, the legislature writes the budget. So I'm telling you all this, so you know, this is a never-ending story at what's going on right now. But it certainly sets a precedent, but I believe that there is a distinct separation of powers, you know, with the executive branch and the legislative branch and the judicial branch. And I think the judicial branch is somewhat swaying, and they need to give us a little more time, because it is a strong commitment of the legislatures to keep that funding for K-12, believe me. So moving on, some other issues that we're dealing with that you've read about a lot is transportation. Now, transportation, of course, has always been a big issue, and people have asked, now what has been the holdup? I would say that there you have a couple philosophies where you want to go with transportation, and there are those of us who would like to see some reforms, some common sense reforms, and to justify if we're going to spend more money. And these are like using the sales tax on products, like the concrete to make the roads, the sales tax on all the building products for the road, to not charge them the sales tax. And that way you would raise about $400 million for roads. And there's a number of lists. There's quite a big list that we do have. And as you all know, politics, it is give and take. And there were concerns also on some of the packages, how much was spent on, I think a big thing, and the governor was really pushing it, was the Columbia River crossing, and that we should have never had a fight on that, because he is really adamant he wanted to see that done. But if we did it that way with the state of Oregon, they were pushing for light rail across the Columbia River, which meant you had to lower the bridge, which meant there would be no commerce up and down the Columbia River, and you'd lose around 3,000 jobs in the Tri-Cities. So there was you can imagine, we had a lot of spirited debate regarding that. And so just hang on, because with also going back to what I've talked about, the McCleary decision, people are not even talking transportation. People are wondering, what are we going to do next? And because of what the Supreme Court may or may not do. But in my position, I serve on four committees. I'm chairman of Natural Resources, vice chairman on Human Services and Corrections. I'm also on Law and Justice, and I'm on the committee called the Rules Committee. And the Rules Committee is a committee set up where it's a gatekeeping. We keep bills alive, essentially. So it's I'm really glad to be on that, because I keep my bills alive if I want. And there's so much, it's kind of like the spout. There's all these bills that come through, and you have a certain amount of time to get passed. And so I really enjoy being on the committee. As chairman of Natural Resources, this has been a very challenging year. I mentioned it's one of my busiest years, but something recently happened with, I have oversight over our Washington State Parks, Department of Natural Resources, and Department of Fish and Wildlife. And as I mentioned earlier, I do get to work on their budgets. And first, some success stories I worked with when I took the position a couple years ago of our state parks, because of the legislature not fully funding them, they step back. We're in the danger of losing a number of our state parks. They were going to have to close them down. And I saw, you know, it's terrible because that brings people out. It's people from all over the United States come to Washington to do commerce within our state parks. And so I decided, no, that's not going to happen on my watch. And so working with the state parks and working with some other fine people, I came up with some legislation where I found the existing, it's called the litter tax, which comes out to over $20 million, I think $20 million a biennium, and over $20 million. And litter tax has always been swept by whoever's doing the budget. And I got ahead of everybody doing the budget, and I took the litter tax, and I put it in for state parks. And with that, I put in legislation where I gave the State Parks Foundation and State Parks Commission more authority to seek out contracting and do advertising in state parks. And so far things are working, and right now the governor has a Blue Ribbon Task Force on outdoor recreation where they're further discussing this. But it's one thing I think it's really important to note, that there are a lot of properties I've been looking at. There are some properties fairly close by that the state park owns, on Highway 2 East Salton, that someday I'd like to make it a state park, because it draws people. Yeah, people come through, and we need more campgrounds and recreation. The other thing I'm dealing with, which isn't so pleasant, but Department of Fish and Wildlife, I'm going to be having a special hearing on July 29th, and I'm setting it up for my committee. And over a month ago, I'll take it back. In our state, we have had fish hatcheries for over 100 years, and with much success. And with that, there's an organization that they don't believe in hatcheries, and there are those that, you know, it depends who you talk to regarding the science and everything, and you could hear peer-reviewed science on one side and then on the other, and there's a lot of fighting going on. But anyhow, when we have good fish runs, it brings a lot of commerce to our valley here. People love to fish the Skykomish River. And in my whole district, I have the Skagit and the Sauk River and still Guamish, which is, you know, I'll be monitoring that after the landslide. But there's great opportunity. It's known that I don't have the numbers. I wish I had. I don't want to be misquoted, but millions of dollars. When you have a special fishery, it brings millions of dollars to the state, because people buy gear and they buy boats, and they, you know, they'll come up and they'll stop at Denny's or whatever along the highway, or go through Monroe, or they'll stop and get buy a license, or so it brings in revenue to the state. And this one organization decided to sue the state regarding our hatchery management plan, which we have a hatchery management plan, but has not been signed off by the federal government, which we've been waiting for 6 years. And so instead of waiting, Fish and Wildlife, instead of consulting people like myself, they went ahead and settled, and in their settlement they're reducing hatchery steelhead in the Skykomish by roughly 80%, and the other rivers up north, they're closing them for 12 years. And I was really outraged, because they didn't even consult the tribes who are co-managers, and they weren't consulted. And so I'm going to be holding a special hearing, because this has the potential to cost our state millions of dollars. And I have no idea why the director would choose to do something like that. I think he could have waited a little longer, and so I'm bringing everybody in. I'm bringing the feds in, and the tribes have shown interest, and the citizens and the people that the local citizens that love to fish and that love to and those are the business people also. So that'll be towards the end of July, but that of course will take a lot of my time. But all in all, I have to admit I was pretty outraged about it, where the same group that sued the state, they've taken $9 million to do fish projects from the state also. And so I have a problem with that, too. I think that's pretty hypocritical. But I will let you know more, or you'll read about it more later in the future. But I haven't done an official press release with it yet, but it has been announced and everything. But those are among a number of issues I'm working on. And again, I've been up down in Olympia a lot with a lot of casework also, and Cameron and I. And but we do enjoy it. It is a privilege to serve the people in the 39th District and also with the state of Washington. And I'm not tired of it, but I do know that every few years I get a job evaluation, and if they don't like your job, it's like that. But regardless of that, anyhow, it's been I'm telling you, like yourselves, it's a privilege to serve the public, and it's a higher standard, and we take it very seriously. So I don't know how many minutes I've talked. I haven't seen the hook, but I know you probably have a few questions, but I'll stop right here.
You're right at 15.
Wasn't I?
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. It was timing. Yeah. Thank you, Senator. Council members, questions, comments? Councilmember Gamble.
Well, yeah, you piqued my interest on the fishing stuff there. So I guess the questions that I had, and I was perusing to see if I could see an announcement. You said it's been made aware. Is there there's no announcement on the...
There's not the announcement yet. Okay. I haven't done the official press release.
Does that include all game fish, or is it just steelhead?
Just steelhead.
And then what river's north? Is that the Stilly and the...
The Puget Sound River affect Skycomish production. Skycomish River is the only one where the production will be cut 80%. But mainly the Skagit, the Sauk, Cascade, Suwato River. And
those will be closed
for over 12 years. And I have, in my district, I have a number of Indian tribes that... That rely on that, that have not even been consulted regarding that. So I've been talking with them regarding this, and I'm not sure what they are going to do and right at this point, but the state didn't work with them either, and I don't want to, I feel bad too, because my job, I look after their interest also, because they are mm-hmm. co-managers.
Mm-hmm. The Skagit, the steel, I mean, that's a...
That's for 12 big, years.
Yeah.
12
that's
years.
Huge.
Shut that down. Oh, it's
significant
tremendous.
Fishery for sports fishermen up there.
Tremendous. Wonderful sports fisher. So stay tuned. But I am, it's our intention to have the federal government here and have them state why it takes over 6 years to... review what we're trying to do here regarding our program, and which maybe they're partially at fault too. But still, my concern is this one organization that did sue one part of the agreement, they won't sue us for another 2.5 years regarding hatchery steelhead. It doesn't mean they can't sue us over other hatchery fish, because they don't believe in hatcheries. So that's my concern too, and I'm bringing things to light. So, and well, leave it at that. Thanks.
Okay, Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. I certainly appreciate your attention to that as well. Echo that. Certainly, it would be a concern. Also, close to home. Is there ever a realistic chance that there will ever be funding for a bypass around the city of Monroe? I know as long as you've lived here, it's been at least on the map, but has never either received funding or anything. It's just a bunch of dotted lines on a map. Is there, I would think no, but every once in a while we hear something that says, oh, you know, maybe there's actually a possibility of that.
In 1965, my dad sold some property to Department of Transportation. What year is it now? It's for myself and your 39th District delegation. Yes, that has been a big part. You have a highway, very active Highway 2 coalition, and that comes down, and you know, Fred and others that are very active. And matter of fact, I think they might have hired their lobbyist, Mike Armstrong. But Mike was my dear friend of mine. He served with me in the legislature.
Right.
And former. Yep. Now he started a public affairs organization in Olympia. So Mike has been advocating, and Mike has some very good ideas. And so I'm not saying no, but when it comes to transportation, it's this last year there were a few things that, you know, we all want good roads, and we want safe roads, and we know you've been waiting a long time. And just give you a little bit of the history, like 522, reason, you know, I started my work on transportation when Congress Metcalf was on the Transportation Committee, and he was allowed, if he voted the right way, I should say, the chairman, Bud Schuster, who was the chairman, he put $40 million in at that time it was called the 2nd Congressional District, and Jack had me scout areas, and we decided to put a certain amount for 522. That's when they did the Paradise Lake Road project. And so it's been, you know, timing, it's been like pulling teeth for everybody. But once the bridge, I think, is done, and it will probably, you know, what's that saying? When you build it, they will come.
I'm sure.
You'll see more people coming out here, and then DOT would really see the need, I believe, because it's going to, I believe, potentially add more congestion on Highway 2 when it comes off. And some great improvements have been made regarding Highway 2 and how it and 522, how it exits on the Highway 2. And so you never say never. You just don't know, but you got to keep asking.
Indeed.
You have to keep diligent with us. And because when we're in Olympia, we're there for 105 days, and we're, as I mentioned, I'm over on four committees, but it helps when you come down and visit or call, if any of you call, and I mean the citizens too, when you all call, it does mean a lot to us, and myself and Cameron, and so it's on the top of our mind.
Yeah. Council members? Councilmember Gamble.
I would just tag on to that. We made the same request to Representative Christensen, who was here with us last week, is that, you know, in light of the fact that there's a great possibility that bypass is a long time in the future, we do have a, you know, local need for a second ingress and egress out of the Rainier View Road area, 191st, and I know that we made that request, I think, when you guys mm-hmm. were down there for our lobby day, and the bypass, you know, they've been kind of unwilling to talk with us because of the bypass for that property that is there. So if
it's unwilling to talk to you.
What's that? I would say unwilling.
Well,
unwilling.
We've gotten no's from the DOT before, just, you know, trying to connect right next to the theater up to Rainier View, and it crosses that the right of way of the bypass, which may or may not ever be there. And you know, while there was an opportunity to do that in the past, there hasn't been any willingness whatsoever to say, you know, hey, how about we improve this, because that's a second ingress egress, it's a safety thing, and it kind of makes sense because there already is a road there, and yeah, it needs to be cleaned up and some work done, but at least, you know, entertaining that.
Yeah.
And
well,
it just seems like there's been the hand.
Okay, well, I work a lot with the regional director at DOT, and maybe it's time to get her up here and meet with all of you. And she's very good at that.
That'd be a great idea.
With her, Lorena Eng. Lorena Eng is her name, and she's a regional director out of Shoreline, and she's very, very proactive and great public servant. So
it would be great.
If you send me an official letter requesting that, and not that I forget anything.
Well, it would be appreciated. There's much more development.
But we could gladly set up and maybe a time that I'll just find a time that's good for her, maybe before session's over, and she'd come up and we could take a look, you know, because it's always best to go ahead and look at the project, get out there in the field, and get a good idea. So, but I'll be happy to do that for you, facilitate that.
Representative Christensen, when he was here last week, one of the things we talked about was extending 191st to Rainier, and he had requested some data that staff is pulling together for him, including the number of homes, the number of people that are living up there, some data related to fire and police response. So as you're aware, being a resident here at one point in time, 191st actually went up around where Walmart's going today, when that used to be a gravel pit. Hill.
The Sky Valley Speedway.
That's right. So what we're looking for is we have this strip of land going through our city that we are not doing anything with, that keeps us from being able to develop those logical connections and things like that. And while a green belt is nice, we still want the city to develop, even if DOT is not prepared to pull the trigger on a $20 million or a now $46 million project. So with that said, in addition to the connection on 191st, we're going through a planning process, our 10-year comp plan update. We'd like to be able to include that on our 10-year comp plan update. But the ad hoc committee and the planning commission have also received input from the public about putting in a trail, basically extending the Centennial Trail from, you know, along the north side of town, using that right away. If DOT isn't realistically going to build on it for 50 years, that it would be nice to be able to put in a trail system or something. But with that said, I think everybody would agree we want the bypass built before then. So anyway, we appreciate anything you can do on the bypass. And certainly allowing us to put that connection in for 191st in the interim. Councilmember Cutterbeck.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Pearson, for coming tonight. I just had a question. When we were down in Olympia and we met with you, one of the things we talked about was the percentage of liquor sales to the city, the revenue. Was there any movement on any bills in increasing that percentage back to the original amount that cities used to collect?
Yeah, I remember right at the end, we had a number of bills that, this was a short session, of mm-hmm. course, we're done in 60 days, but I believe that was one of our take-home, at the end, one side has their wish list, and the other side, you know, if we got to get out of here, we want to get these bills done, and that was one of the bills. I can't remember who the sponsor was, but the other side, nope, if we're, one side wanted some new revenue, and so our side, we decided, no, we're not going to, we don't have to do that, so they didn't accept that. So.
Okay, so they're...
But it doesn't mean it can't happen for next year, and I think that, with a much longer session, there is that potential and okay. everything. And what, you know, you brought together an idea for myself, mm-hmm. if I may add. Before session, if you put together a list, Monroe's legislative list, and add, you know, if you want to prioritize it, that would be fine, but that would be great. Because I have some other cities in my district that also give me a list, but that'd be great if you could do that.
Very good.
And then ask and call me a couple weeks after I get it and ask me if I read it. So
test you on it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Council members, any other questions? Senator Pearson, thank you very much for coming here tonight.
Thank you all.
For presenting and for the Q&A. And thank you very much for your service.
Yes, please.
Thank you.
Not offended that a dog got sworn in before me. At Olympia, we do honor our canine troops, and I've been on Lawn Justice. I've had that privilege to be at a number of installations, and that's pretty neat because they do play a big role. Jason's a good handler too. So, yeah. But anyhow, thank you all.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item that we have on our agenda is a proclamation. Rather than read this in, the month of July is being declared as Parks and Recreation Month. The proclamation is there in your packets for your review, and it will be put out here in the lobby. The next item that we have on the agenda is a public hearing, AB 14086. It's approval of resolution number 014-2014, declaring utility property surplus / well site. Brad, do you have this one?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Go for it.
The city of Maryland owns a 12.5 acre piece of property at the southwest corner of 134th Street and Ingram Road, which is sort of across the street from our existing Ingram reservoirs. It was de-annexed from the city in the early 2000s by a vote of the people, and we just never did the surplusing process, and it's now the possibility of selling that to a developer to match some other property that may be developing out in that area. And the first step in that is to have it surplus so we can sell it to some of the utility properties. And one of the things we have to do with that is hold a public hearing. So this public hearing was newly advertised to be held for this night. And so now the time to have a public hearing and see if anybody has any comments. And there's a resolution to adopt afterwards if you so choose with regard to this property surplus.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anybody here that would like to give public testimony on the proposed action? Anybody wanting to come forward and give public testimony? Okay. Councilmember Gehring. Okay, nobody signed up either. Councilmember Gehring.
I move to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gehring, a second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion passes 6-0. Any discussion, Council? Okay, Councilmember Gehring.
I move to close the public hearing.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Gehring. I have a second from Councilmember Cuddeback. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion passes 6-0. And do I have a desire to approve the resolution? Councilmember Cuddeback.
I will move to approve resolution 014-2014, declaring certain real property surplus to the city's needs.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Cuddeback, a second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion passes 6-0. Thank you. We now have a need for an executive session. The executive session is on the orange sheet of paper. So this is related to the pricing of property. It's under RCW 42-30-110, subsection 1, subsection C. The amount of time is approximately 15 minutes. We're going to go ahead and move into executive session. Shall we move to the back room? Okay. Citizens can stay here. We're going to go to another room, and then we'll be back here in about 15 minutes. Thank you. Okay, we are back in session from executive session. We're now going to move on to comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Are there any members of the public that would like to come forward to speak? Come on forward. Please state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Just quickly, Ms. Sandy Messenbrink. My address is 11925 205th Drive Southeast, Snohomish. And come down the hill several times a day and are going through the construction zone for the new roundabout. My husband has been involved with construction in a prior life of his, and we are noticing and are very concerned that this roundabout is going to be far too small for some of the traffic that we feel that is going to be coming down the hill, including trucks, RVs who pull vehicles behind them, people that have travel trailers that live up there, people that have other types of fifth wheels. There are several of them, and I don't think that any of this was taken into consideration. The roundabout looks far, far too small. As someone who has had a brother who was a truck driver, it looks like the roundabout is similar to something you'd find in a small residential area, something rather that accommodates more cars than larger vehicles. And my brother, who was a truck driver, indicated that when they put a roundabout that doesn't look too much smaller than what I'm seeing going in here, the trucks just basically drove through it. And I guess my concern is, does anybody have any idea as far as whether any of that was taken into consideration when this thing was designed? Because it just does not look large enough to me. And that's all I had to comment on. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other members of the public with questions or, I'm sorry, with comments? Okay, seeing none. We're going to go ahead and move on to consent. Please note at your at the dais that there's a recommendation to pull the minutes, which is item number one. Councilmember Gearing.
I'd like to pull item number one, please.
Okay. Item number one is pulled. Okay, council. Anybody like to make a motion on the consent minus number one? Councilmember Cutterback.
I'll move to approve the consent agenda items number two and three. Right, one was pulled.
Correct.
Okay.
I have a first from Councilmember Cutterback to approve the consent agenda items number two and three, and a second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, motion passes 6-0. Back to consent agenda item number one.
Thank you. I move to amend consent agenda item number one, minutes of June 17th, 2014, regular business meeting, page two. Councilmember reports, paragraph one, to strike Camp and insert Gearing. That's a motion.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Gearing, a second from Councilmember Cutterback to strike Camp. Would you like a bag of ice? Councilmember Camp.
I was waiting for him to second it.
Okay, any discussion on the motion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, motion passes 6-0.
We actually need to approve the item. That was just for the
Yeah, that was moved to amend the consent. A motion to approve it with the amendment, or
a separate item to actually approve it? No, is that the same?
Okay.
Yeah, very good.
Okay. All right. Next item on the agenda is new business. For new business, we have AB 14089. This is authorized mayor to sign a consultant agreement for architectural design services for skate park improvements project. And would this be Mike,
yes.
Go ahead.
Evening, Council. So before you is the consulting agreement for our architectural design services for the skate park improvement project. The project will create a street plaza theme that mimics elements, materials, and diversity that are found in urban skate spots that will function as a recreational and a financial and visual asset at Lakeside Park. The vision and concept of the plan was brought forth to the Monroe Park Board in 2012. Then to the City Council in 2013 by staff and local stakeholders. So the plan is to transform our existing site into a cutting-edge facility that would be used as a venue for events and also present Monroe with a beautiful civic center-style skateable plaza. We have a really good skate park that has served us well for 12 years, and the modular portable ramps have held up fairly well, but you know, we're looking at them. They're starting to show their wear, and what this will do is put permanent concrete and pavers and other hard materials into the project. So a request for proposals for the architectural design services solicitation was prepared by staff, and we received in April. We received one bid from a qualified firm, and that's Ryan Line Skate Parks. and we've negotiated a scope of services for architectural design services in a total amount not to exceed $20,000. And the project is funded by Park CIP Fund. A total of $240,000 has been budgeted for the skate park improvements. In addition, we've applied for a Washington Wildlife Recreation Program 50-50 matching grant to supplement the project. And we're hoping, well, grant notification of an award or not will occur this month.
For those of you that have not seen them yet, there are conceptual plans on the last two pages of the PDF that's attached to the briefing. Council members, do you have any questions or a motion? Councilmember Cutterback?
Thank you. Mike, is this footprint the same square footage that's currently there? Is there going to be any additional, or is this the same footprint?
Yeah, the improvements will occur within the existing footprint.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool. And what, I know you said we have a total of $240,000 in the CIP, I think.
Correct.
And we're looking for a grant. Do you have any idea what the estimated total cost do you think would be?
It's
I know this
tight.
Is...
It's going to be right there.
Okay.
So we are awarded the grant. Then that, obviously, some of that money can go back into the Park CIP fund. But if we are not awarded the grant, we'll make it happen. And one opportunity could be that we could look at setting it up to raise it, you know, say if there's a majority of it and there's one piece that we can pull off on. We definitely want to stick with the concept that's developed
sure.
through this process and put together earlier. So.
And are they going to look at a phased approach when they design it maybe
yes,
then?
Yes.
Okay. And then last question, any plans of any artwork out there around the skateboard park?
Yes, or? That's part of the project.
Okay.
Incorporate some art, some skatable art into the
yeah, because I think that would look, you know, because there's not really that out there now, and that would really, I think, add value and change the look. Thanks, Mike.
Mr. Brazel.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to speak up a bit about Grindline and the company itself. Some of the council members might remember when we first talked about putting the skate park in some years ago, we wanted to go with a concrete system. Grindline actually was the company that we wanted to go with at that point in time, but we couldn't afford to go that route. Mm-hmm. Since then, they've built hundreds, well, I shouldn't say hundreds, they've been lots of state-of-the-art parks all around the Pacific Northwest, even up in Whistler. And they're a top-notch company. I was super excited when I saw that they were the top choice here. So.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I move to authorize the mayor to sign the consultant agreement with Grindline Skate Parks Incorporated for architectural services to update the Lake Tye Skate Park and expressly authorize further minor revisions to the extent deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Camp, a second from Councilmember Gehring. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. All right. Next item on the agenda is AB 14090, this is confirm / reappoint to Lodging Tax Advisory Committee. Gene, do you have this one, or is this Brad?
Brad.
Okay, thank you. We have the annual reappointment or appointment of the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee. I came to the council, I think it was in March, and asked if you were happy with the people who were willing to serve again, to keeping them. Two of the people were available for reappointment. That was Doug Hobbs from the Evergreen Speedway and Kelsey Hendricks from the Best Western. They're both there. The other two people have moved on in their jobs. So Charlena Walzer and Nick Bennett have moved on. We have advertised for appointments, or people who are interested in that. And we have Bill Schwinn, the general manager for the Guest House Inn, applied for the position as the generator of lodging tax. And Una Workabaugh Hart applied for the person who's the organization that spends lodging tax. And those are the only two applications that we received. So if the council would be so willing to appoint those two people to new terms and the other two to existing terms, along with, as you said in March, the mayor and the chair of the committee. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. Brad, two members are representatives of business required to collect the tax. tax. Could that also be a board member of the chamber, or does it need to be the director? Just a question.
No, we collect the tax of the ones, those are the hotels.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the spend.
The spend, I'm sorry. It was for the chamber, it's a spend.
Could be,
so could be a board member.
Board representative of, yes.
Okay, thanks.
Councilmember Gehring.
After no more lights, I'll go ahead and make a motion. I'll move to appoint Jeffrey Thomas, Mayor, City of Monroe, Doug Hobbs, High Road Promotions, Kelsey Hendricks, Manager, Best Western, Bill Shin, General Manager, Guest House Inn and Suites, and Una Workaba-Hart, Executive Director of the Monroe Chamber of Commerce, to the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee for the term of July 1st, 2014 to June 30, 2015.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Gehring. I have a second from Councilmember Cuddeback. Any discussion? Please let the record show that Councilmember Camp is briefly out of the chambers. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. We're going to go ahead and move on to the next item. And this is final action, AB 14091, approval of resolution number 15-2014, adopting the 2015 to 2020 Transportation Improvement Program. Brad? That was you, right?
Okay. had a public hearing 2 weeks ago. No public comments, no council member comments. This is for the adopting the six-year 2015-2020 Transportation Improvement Program, which is essentially the same as it was last year with the addition of the 179th Street sidewalk that we get a grant for and the preservation projects that are going to the ballot in August. Any questions?
Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. Brad, if and just thinking about it, we were talking with Senator Pearson and then it was with Dan Christian last week. Is there any harm in adding, since it's for the next 6 years, adding the connection from 191st to Galaxy Way onto this list? I think I ask that every year, but I can't remember.
I think it's on there.
It is.
Is it? I didn't 11. See Galaxy Way listed. Which number is it?
We added
11.
It last year.
No. East-West, that was FR7, was number 11. East, that's an east-west connector.
Talking about the connection.
191st to Chain Lake. I'm talking about
Kelsey.
191st to Galaxy Way to Kelsey. That's actually not number 11. East-west connector was FR7, was a frontage road along the quote-unquote Highway 2 bypass. Isn't that what number 11 is?
Yes.
What I'm saying is, why wouldn't we ask, slightly different?
Because it's not compliant with the current comprehensive plan.
And so we can't, but this is for the next 6 years.
It gets adopted every year.
This comes out every year.
Okay, which is maybe why I ask every year and then we don't put it in every year. It's probably because of that. Okay.
Okay. Plan. So, assumes that when the comprehensive plan is done, that might be included in the projects.
In which case, at that time, then when this comes up again next year, then we could add that at that time.
It may not be in the 2016 to 2021, but it could be in the 2017.
Yeah.
Wow, 2017 to 2022, depending upon.
Okay.
Adopt the plan until June 30th, we won't be able to add it next year because it has to be adopted by June 30th.
Very good. Procedurally, we can't add it to the list tonight.
Right.
We can't add it to the list probably next year, but there will be a time once the comprehensive plan, the update has been made, where we could add that to this list.
Very good. Included in the comprehensive plan.
That's what I need to know. Thank you. Very good.
Any council members desiring to make a motion? Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thanks. I will approve resolution number 015-2014 adopting the City of Monroe's six-year transportation improvement program for the years 2015 to 2020.
I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen.
Second.
And a second from Councilmember Gehring. Any discussion? Please let the record show that Councilmember Camp is in the room. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. We're going to move on to the next item on the agenda. This is AB 14092, adoption of an emergency.
Mayor Thomas.
Yes.
Sorry, I had a question.
Oh, I missed.
That's okay. No problem. I would still vote yes, but can I ask
this
about this?
Yes.
So, Brad, number 9, the Frylands and 146 signal. I was trying to understand where is that? I mean, on Frylands, I know where. Obviously, where the school is, and there's a signal there.
That's the
Paisanos.
Yeah, thank you. Burger Madness.
Oh, okay.
Turning into Paisanos, that strip mall there. Yeah.
And how do we determine that a signal is needed there? Like, do we, obviously we do studies.
That was in the transportation plan that was adopted in 2007 that called for a signal there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in order to kind of take it off the list, we'd have to wait for the new comprehensive plan?
We can say we'll have to do it if you want to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's a need at that light still? I mean, what determines that there's enough need for a light?
You have the traffic, both pedestrian and the traffic on ground floor.
And if there was a light put there, would they put a crosswalk?
Yes.
Okay, they would put a crosswalk.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Fred.
Okay. Sorry about that, Councilmember Kadebeck. Is there anybody else with questions on the previous item that I missed? Okay, seeing none, we're going to go ahead and move on to the next item. This is AB 14092, Adoption of Emergency Interim Ordinance Number 007-2014, amending MMC Chapter 20 regarding impact fee exemptions, first and final reading.
Okay.
Thank you, Brad.
The Northern Municipal Code currently provides for the exemption from mitigation fees or impact fees, or common called, for water, sewer, streets, for transportation, parks, and schools. It mostly says shall be exempt as opposed to allowing for any discretion on the part of staff or council to do that. Recently we've spent, and also state law requires that if the city exempts the fees, the city has to pay for them out of other public funds. The city recently spent about $458,000, I think it is, or approximately $450,000 in those fees this year. So, and luckily we've had money in the contingency fund that has covered that, but before allowing some more of those applications to come in, take a six-month breather, look at this concept completely, because one of the things that's happened is all these exemptions have been put in sort of piecemeal along the line because they have different criteria and things like that, which makes it very confusing for staff. Take 6 months to come up with new regulations regarding that for the council to decide whether or not they want to do it. I've also attached some suggested concepts, such as, you know, the amount budgeted so the councils can put in a certain amount of money into a pot that gets used on a first-come, first-served basis each year for those kind of things. And if, you know, there's another recession or something, there's no money, nothing gets funded that year. So this ordinance is in effect for 6 months, and if nothing happens in the next 6 months, it goes back to being what it is currently. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer that.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. And Brad, just to confirm that this ordinance affects future projects.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Council? Councilmember Kadebeck?
I'm going to vote for this, and one of the reasons, we had a discussion in our P4 committee about this, and the way it was designed, just as Brad said, is it kind of piecemealed, and there's not a didn't appear to be a looking at data and logical why the ordinance was, or the exemptions put in place the way they were. They were kind of piecemeal together. So I think taking 6 months and looking at what would be a logical ordinance and make sense, or exemptions and make sense for our community, I think is a wise decision. So.
Councilmember Gamble?
Just a question. So
yes.
We have this written as first and final. Isn't that?
This is an emergency ordinance. It's it will take a supermajority to pass. The reason why it's done as an emergency ordinance like this, and staff, please correct me if I'm wrong, is so that it becomes effective immediately. If we did it as a different type of ordinance, it would take 5 days to go into effect.
So actually, 12.
12 days.
Yes.
Thank you.
5 days after publication. It isn't published for another week.
Got it. So.
The difference is that since it's an emergency ordinance, we don't have to make a motion for tolling.
No, you do.
You do the way.
We still do.
All right.
You can always see the A.
Yeah. The A's there.
Okay, council members. Is there a motion? Thank you. Councilmember Gearing.
I will move to waive council rules of procedure requiring a second reading of this ordinance.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gearing, a second from Councilmember Kadebeck. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Councilmember Gamble.
Make a motion to adopt interim ordinance number 007-2014, amending Chapter 20.07 MMC School Impact Fee Mitigation Program, Chapter 20.10 MMC Park Impact Fees, and Chapter 20.12 MMC Transition Impact Fees, temporarily eliminating certain public interest exemptions to the city's impact fee regulations, providing for severability, establishing an automatic 6-month sunset date, declaring an emergency, and establishing an immediate effective date.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Cutaback. Any discussion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is Councilmember reports. And
thank you. I was just going to ask for those.
Before we move on to Councilmember reports, Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. Out of executive session, a couple motions that I'd like to make. The first, I move to authorize the mayor to sign a purchase and sale agreement with the Irwin Development Group regarding Parcel 5 of the North Kelsey Short Plat in substantially the form presented to council.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Gehring, a second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you, Mayor. I also move to authorize the mayor to sign a purchase and sale agreement with Miravest Incorporated regarding parcels 6 and 7 of the North Kelsey Short Plat in substantially the form presented to council.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Gehring, a second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. The next item that we'll move on to is Councilmember reports. Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. Just World Cup fever, go USA. It's been just a lot of fun. Now we have a lot of people from a lot of different countries. I have a lot of friends rooting for everyone from Ecuador to Mexico to Greece. You know, so it's been crazy. We've been having a really fun time. It's a lot of people in the community have really been getting into it. Our neighborhood, everyone had their flags out. It's been a lot of fun. So that's Thursday as well, and we're certainly well represented in Monroe with a lot of different people rooting for different teams. It's very cool. Secondly, I also wanted to be able to recognize Betsy Lewis from the library is retiring, and there's a thing very shortly for her. That might have already been done. You guys might have already talked about that. I know my son has been a volunteer there for a number of times. She's always been really great. To him, she's been very, very kind to me. Always someone really great to work with. Always a smiling face. I've always loved to go in the library and see Betsy. And she's been fantastic. So definitely a loss for the library. I just want to say thanks to her for that. So thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
So another weekend at the parks there. I was actually out and about, but we did have another, as we talked about last week, a Legends tournament here locally. I heard the parks were shining again. It was a lot, you know, better weather this past weekend, Mike. Just the highlights, we had our 11U, the 11U team from the 11's baseball club was tied for fifth, but that was out of quite a few teams. The 12U team was took second out of about 12 teams, and the 13U team took second in the tournament. So good overall. I did have, you know, some emails that did come in, Mike, after the the tournament, and some of it just from parents that obviously tour a lot of the different facilities in the Northwest throughout the summer and the spring. And the questions came up in regards to our there was a couple questions. One was in regards to dugouts and the roof, you know, the possibility of roofs over the dugouts, and is there any possibility that the Little League could partner, or if there was a funding drive or something like that. There's a definite interest in that capacity from the baseball community to some way put a lid on those dugouts. It's something that's available in a lot of the parks throughout the area. And then two questions. One was around there was a question and fear around liability of foul balls. So I'll bring that up because a lot of the different parks around the area have netting that's out there. We had 3 or 4 foul balls this last weekend that hit some of the folks that were in attendance, and so it's a citizen that's very much involved in the public, and just wanted to say, hey, what's the liability to the city? And I think I already know the answer to that, but I thought I would bring that up to see if that has been
looked at previously, because I know there's a lot of different ways to try to mitigate that. And then the last question was around lighting. If there was ever any, I heard that we can't do lighting because it's in a flood zone. Is that the case? Can you find out? Or what's the issue in that regard? So those were the questions around that. And then before, because I would love to get, if you have anything off the cuff, or you can just say, hey, I'll get back to you. No big deal.
Probably the easiest, I can just send an email out to all of you with the answers.
That would be fantastic. Okay. Thanks. I really appreciate that. And then the other question was, if I remember right, when we had the presentation on the roundabout, I remember that we had some concern from the person that owned the mobile home park that it would be large enough for mobile homes to go through. I mean, single wide homes to go through there. So, am I recalling that correctly? Because if that's the case, I do come down that on a regular basis, and I can't really vision what it's going to look like at this stage of the construction. I live up there as well. But I want to address the concern that was talked about this morning. But if I recall correctly, when we approved the contract, that was one of the things that actually came up, was the making sure it was wide enough, and I was pretty sure that that had been addressed. That's what I thought.
The inner circle is 48 feet across. The truck apron is 80 feet across, and basically the outside curbs are 140 feet across. So it's designed to take the biggest trucks that then go to Lakeside, Lowe's, or Walmart, along with Mr. Bacon's mobile homes.
Right. Okay. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah. And it also is designed with the truck apron that the trucks are supposed to drive over the truck apron.
Roger that.
Yeah, but the center is going to have big rocks in it, so I'm assuming they won't want to grab over that.
Perfect. Thank you.
Councilmember Davis. Nothing tonight.
Okay. Councilmember Camp.
Nothing tonight.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Triathlon at Lake Tahoe on Saturday. It looked like it was really good. Unfortunately, I missed most of it. I was racing myself, but caught it just as the runners were finishing up, and everyone I talked to said it was phenomenal. Once again, weather was perfect. So, Mike in the parks, another good job. Brad, sorry.
Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilmember Gearing, for mentioning Betsy Lewis's retirement. It is June 30th, I think, 2-4.
Monday.
So she's done a great job. Been involved in the library system, I think, for almost 30 years. So she's been a huge asset to our community. So I hope people can show up and wish her well. Last Wednesday, I attended the comp plan meeting, and it was wonderful. Spending time away from the family on a Wednesday night, but it was well worth it. The concepts were, I thought, very well thought out. There was lots of participation from the members, community members that were there. If you haven't had a chance to look at the information, I would recommend that you do. I really like some of the information that came out about maximizing Monroe River First. And all my looking at the downtown plan and thinking about our community, I never thought about putting the river first and really developing that, making that a highlight of our area. Most communities that do that maximize it. And when you think about our river, you can barely see it from the street, and we don't really maximize it. So it was really interesting to have them take that tact and talk about revitalizing downtown with kind of opening up the river and drawing businesses and people there first, and then it will help spur development and change downtown. So I thought that was really interesting. It was really good information. I'm looking forward to the plan that's developed, and I know that's going to occur over the next 6 months. So that's going to be great.
Would you mind if I ask just a question on that? Because that's an excellent point. It was probably 2009. We talked about the buffers that were off that river. I think that's an excellent idea. Would there be some way to mitigate that so what she was talking about could actually happen?
I would love to see that developed along the river, but and we had maps, and I remember Hiller West was showing us stuff, and was like, well, you have this huge parcel, but actually only this only corner is the only thing you could actually do anything on. And so to me, that, you know, I don't know if that will be remedied or not, and thank you for yielding. I don't know if that would be remedied or not, but I'd certainly love to include that with future discussions that we have with regard to that, because I would love to see that happen. But if our own, you know, rules and stuff are prohibitive of that, then, you know, we need to have a balance there as well. But thank you for yielding.
Yeah, no, it was a great discussion around it, and there are, I think, barriers, and I think then looking at how we overcome certain barriers and what we can do there. So, but a lot of good discussion around a lot of different issues around the airport and other issues too. Our P4 committee meeting is moving to the 4 p.m. on the second Monday, so we are going to try 4 p.m. So just wanted to say that. And this Friday, I'm attending a bike business forum in Linwood in South Snohomish County to just talk about access to bikes and making communities more biker-friendly, biking to work, have a different mode of transportation. So that's it.
Thank you. And the record should show that Councilmember Hanford had mentioned that he'd be gone for two meetings in a row, one being tonight and the next one being next week, which is now canceled. So going out to staff, Chief?
Nothing tonight.
Okay. Mike?
Yes, something to report on Tryman Row. I just wanted to give you just a briefing here on what this has been this past year and just the fourth year of that event. There are local partners, the city, the Chamber of Commerce, Snow County Tourism Bureau's Sports Commission involved, and some local businesses, Ben Franklin and Monroe Farm, among others, contributed to helping support that event. There were six races. There were approximately 300 competitors, athletes, plus their coaches. They had teams, they had setups with tents and bicycle wheels, and you know, they could do on-the-spot repairs like pit areas and whatnot. There are families and supporters there. So there were six races. There were two youth elite. This is through USA Triathlon sanctioned event, male, female. And then there were two junior elite, male, female. And then U25, 25 and under, amateur, male, female. Now, these athletes came from, I counted, I looked up on the results, 31 states. So they were coming in from all over the place. There were some from Washington, but the majority of them are from 31 of our states. Plus, there are three provinces in Canada that athletes came from, mm-hmm. and then there was some from Mexico and Australia as well. So obviously it's good for you know, people to see this, local residents, but also businesses are really happy, hotels, restaurants, and that sort. And last, I just want to share with you, I got an email forwarded to me from, his name's Steve Kelly. He's the program manager at USA Triathlon, and their headquarters is in Colorado Springs, Colorado. He said, thank you again for hosting the USAT Monroe Youth Elite Junior Elite Cup and U25 Elite Development Race on Saturday. We enjoyed splendid weather and great performances. From a high-performance standpoint, the race served us very well. We were able to qualify 80 athletes for nationals and conduct talent confirmation with our collegiate recruits, and there's some sort of acronym here that I don't understand, so I'll skip that. I was pleased with the progress we've made in developing and fine-tuning this event. I think the revised bike course with the school would work very well. The new pavement in transition was a bonus. The park is very accommodating to the needs of our teams. It was comforting to have an enhanced EMS, emergency management, presence on site too. I certainly appreciate the hospitality that the city has shown us. So, pretty neat stuff.
Nice job.
So we're excited to have them back next year as well.
Thank you, Mike. Brad.
Nothing tonight.
Okay. Mike, Brad, I stopped by. You both saw me and my wife as we were taking a walk. You guys were there setting up at 6. I think we walked by at about 5 p.m. You guys were there for at least 11 hours. On a Saturday. I want to thank both of you personally for being there. You weren't with your families. It was a nice sunny day, and you were there working for the city, and I just want to thank you both. I'm sure there are others that I missed also, but thank you both for being there. So it looked like a very well-run event, and when we stopped by Sockeyes, we saw people that, we saw officials. They had their white t-shirts on that said officials in there, and So anyway, I personally thank you both very much. Gene?
Nothing this evening.
Okay. A couple things. I had lunch with the mayor on Thursday last week. Brad and I both attended that. We talked some about Diagonon Valley, Destination Valley there, and about coordinating efforts with improving the pavement behind the building that has the mattress store in it currently, and on the north side of the Mason's Lodge to make a little bit better square for events that occur there. We also talked with them some about stamping or designs that we could put on the alley there, again, to create some interest so that when we have events and things like that in the downtown, that that place looks a little bit better. Talked about a couple other initiatives that are in a very conceptual place right now that we'll talk about another time. And then I also attended the comp plan meeting. Had a number of people show up from Planning Commission, Parks Advisory Board, Citizens Advisory Committee, and just a couple of other citizens. A lot of energy in the room. Really exciting to see all that. So I think that's my report out for now. Gene, should go over the extended agenda and next week's non-agenda.
Thank you, Mayor. Draft agenda for July 8th, 2014. We have Representative Elizabeth Scott will be here to do a brief presentation. Under public hearing, we'll be looking at the overweight parking permits. We'll have a brief executive session for approximately 30 minutes regarding labor negotiations. We have the consent agenda under new business. We have the ordinance adopting permanent sign code regulations. This is the first reading. Under new business, we have the Mayor Pro Tem to sign your local agreement with Snohomish County for Snohomish Regional Drug and Gang Task Force. And then we have under council member reports, the Finance HR Committee report that will come forward.
And also, as you're giving the council member reports, we do have a couple of council members that attend outside meetings also. We're going to start putting down those meetings just as a reminder to update us on Snohomish County tomorrow or whatever committees you might be serving on. And so go ahead on with the extended agenda.
Of course, next week's meeting is canceled. And we do not have anything under July 22nd at this point in time. Is there any other items that you would like to add?
Mayor?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Could you clarify about the council member reports?
I just want to remind folks, I haven't heard any updates recently, like on Snohomish County Cities and Towns and community transit. I don't think we have anybody that's assigned to that, but just those sorts of outside committee things that you do, that's all. Just looking for those sorts of updates.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, not a problem. One point that we want to make certain that we are getting so that we're certain that we have a quorum. If any member is already knows that they're going to be absent because of vacation or something, if you could please let Liz, Edie, Jean, or me know, we'll go ahead and we'll add it to the extended agenda so that we can anticipate quorum issues in the future. I'd appreciate it. The final item that I have that I forgot to mention is that we got a letter from the Department of Ecology congratulating us on our compliance, and I'd have you take a look at least the first couple lines of that. That's a good thing. Gene, do you have anything else?
I do not.
Okay. Seeing no other business, if council would like to do so, you may make a motion to adjourn. Councilmember Gamble.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gamble. I have a second from Councilmember Kotobek. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0, 6-0. Have a great evening and thank you for your time.
Happy 4th, everybody. Happy 4th. And go U.S.